It's Helping Hand, weekly feature on HPR1 stations and online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Every Friday afternoon, Helping Hand puts the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we have a returning guest. We're pleased to have EAH Housing back on the program. According to their website, this nonprofit corporation was founded with the belief that affordable rental housing is the cornerstone to sustainable living communities. EAH develops low-income housing, manages 111 properties in both California and the Aloha State, and they play a leadership role in local, regional, and national housing advocacy efforts, especially relevant as the Aloha State faces a housing shortage and the single most severe homeless crisis anywhere in the United States. We're learning a lot more about what they offer and how we can help them in their noble mission with our esteemed returning guest, EAH Housing VP of Hawaii, Kevin Carney. Good to see you, man.
I like that new title, esteemed. Thank you for having me, Dave.
You are quite welcome and proud of you guys for what you're doing. It's an innovative approach to helping people, and it's probably a new name for some, not for others, but for the folks who need a little refresher on what you guys are up to, explain how you guys function.
Well, we're a 501c3 nonprofit, and we're coming up on 50 years. 2018 will be 50 years in existence. And over those 50 years, we've grown, particularly since 1986 is when our really growth spurt started, and that was with the enactment of the low-income housing tax credit. And that's our primary source of financing. We serve those at 60% and below of the area median income. And to give your listeners an idea of what that means, in Honolulu, for a family of four, that equates to about $60,000. For a single person, that would be a little over $42,000. So that's typically the maximum level of income that we serve. And the rents are basically 30% of income. We do serve lower than that. In some projects or properties, it goes down to 30% AMI. So that's the range we cover. And that's really dictated by the low-income housing tax credit, which provides us with the subsidy.
So who are, when we think of candidates for housing with EAH, explain the requirements they must meet and who some of the folks are, basically, that this is a good fit for?
Well, to begin with, who the folks are, I mean, they're people you engage with in everyday life. They may be the receptionist at your dentist's office, at your doctor's office. They may be the nurse's assistant. Any more like entry-level positions, security guards, those folks working at the fast food counter trying to make it a living. It's across the board. A lot of young families. We do deal with a lot of single moms. So those are the people we serve.
And are the what are the requirements for someone to, if someone is listening, and I mean, so this is basically targeting folks who are at a low income level who are otherwise maybe at risk of homelessness if they are not able to get housing.
Potentially at risk. They do have to qualify, number one, based on income level. They also must meet certain credit requirements. They have to have an ability to pay the rent, number two. And we welcome Section 8 vouchers at all of our properties. So if they're fortunate enough to have a Section 8 voucher, that's great. The bad news is that we do have long waiting lists at all of our properties, and so it can take upwards of a year or more to get in. But we do have some properties that have project-based Section 8, and those even have longer waiting lists, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. So they do have to pass an income test, and we also do a background check, and we also do a landlord check. So those three levels is what it takes to get in.
How much in terms of how have things changed for you guys since we last had you on about a year ago? And as the homeless crisis continues to spiral upward, there's a huge housing shortage. What's new on the EAH front?
Well, as far as demand, it's remained pretty constant. Like I said, we do have long waiting lists at all of our properties, with the exception of our senior properties. That's just through the natural course of things. The waiting lists at our senior properties are a lot not as long. And for senior properties, you have to be at least 62 years of age. What's changed for us? On the bright side, we are having a grand opening this month of a senior property in Lihue on Kauai. It's an expansion of an existing senior property that we opened up about a year and a half ago. And it's 30 units, and that's, like I said, right in downtown Lihue. We're also opening up phase three of a project we've been working on in Eva off of Renton Road called the Villages of Mo'ai'eku. Mm-hmm. That's 52 units for multifamily, one, two, and three bedroom units. And a unique property that we're working on opening up as the units are completed is called Kunia Village. Off of Kunia Road. It's the old Dole Plantation housing up there, which is being renovated, and also new homes are being added. And so if you know of anybody that's in the farming industry, and that farming can be anything from cows to fish range, and you're employed in that area, then you're eligible to live in this rural development project.
Oh, that's good to hear. And aren't you on the board? You're with one of the, I remember when we talked before, something relating to the housing and the homelessness.
Yes, on the homelessness side, I'm vice president of Home Aid Hawaii. And Home Aid is a national organization. We just opened up the Hawaii chapter about a year and a half ago. We've been involved in a few projects here because we're just getting off the ground. Our purpose is not to build housing for the homeless. Our purpose really is to help existing service providers, particularly those that provide shelter. And if they have renovation needs at those shelters, then we use the power that we have. We're made up of the Building Industry Association, large contractors, large developers. And so we use our connections to help reduce the cost of doing those renovations. So that's gone very well. And then we also just had a Christmas event for homeless children. We had about 80 kids participate in an event to provide them with everything you would normally see or have at home during Christmas. It was an overnight event.
That's fantastic. And that's a great lead into, we have a lot of people who are concerned about this crisis. And I remember talking to before, you guys do a lot with your housing where there's opportunities for folks to help you guys out. When you think about your biggest needs that the community could assist in this mission.
Well, we pride ourselves on being more than just a developer and a manager of rental housing, and we only do rental housing.
That's right.
I didn't say that previously, but we only do affordable rental housing. And we also provide resident services for our residents, those that are interested in improving their way in the world, all types of things, from working with the keiki that live in our properties. We have scholarship programs for high school seniors, four-year programs that they can compete for to go on to college or technical school. And then we have services for the elderly, whether it be health-related or completing some type of financial paperwork or things like that. So a variety of programs that are available. What we do is we typically survey our residents, and each property is different. The makeup is different. The needs are different. And so we survey those residents to find out what their needs are, and then we try to fulfill those needs.
Are there volunteer opportunities for people to support in these many roles that you got that serve the residents?
Yes, there are. They're limited, but there are opportunities. And if anyone is interested, they can call our office to find out.
What's a good background for someone who wants to help you guys out? Is there any particular skill sets that are invaluable?
I think anyone who's interested or has a degree in social services, sociology, psychology, the medical field, anything along those lines would be very helpful.
What are... you guys are running this. I know you also have a position on the mainland with this, but are you doing stuff outside the Honolulu area or just in the Honolulu area?
No, we currently have 18 properties in our Hawaii portfolio, and that includes properties on Kauai.
So it's Kauai, Oahu,
and Maui.
Okay.
18 properties, roughly a little over 2,000 units.
And the what are some of the ways that when it comes to, I know that you were talking about, that was pretty interesting, the connection with helping with the homeless. Explain on that construction side a little bit more, like on how you're you're when the homeless. Like,
okay. Yeah. So we're talking about HomeAid Hawaii mm-hmm. now. So let's say we've got a homeless services provider who has a shelter and their roof is leaking and they need to replace that roof. Normally if they go out and bid it on the market, you know, they're going to get a market price to do that. If they bring us into the picture, we can assist with that. We work with contractors. We have, construction companies involved with HomeAid, so we can go directly to them and say, okay, you know, we need your assistance in this. Can you help these folks out? And so we can get a better pricing, and in some cases, we can get the labor for free, or even product for free. So we primarily help to reduce the cost. And then the contractors that we work with would go ahead and do the installation.
And is that in conjunction with EAH?
No, it has nothing to do with the EAH is a member because I'm a vice president of HomeAid Hawaii, but that's the only relationship.
Okay. And what are other crucial things about EAH that people who are really in need to know in terms of this being one of the many components in trying to get to deal with the housing crisis?
Well, you mentioned that we're a strong advocate for housing and housing policy. So I spend a lot of my time at the state legislature and at the city council advocating for more funding for housing. You know, we depend on subsidies. The city and county of Honolulu has an affordable housing fund that we would tap into for subsidy. You know, all of our rents are fixed typically by HUD at these properties. So we know from the get-go what the income possibility is on a property and what we're able to carry in debt. It's very expensive to build housing, number one, whether you're doing affordable rental housing sure. or whether you're doing luxury condo housing. We still have to deal with the same construction costs, the price of materials, labor, et cetera. So it's not cheap. So we do depend on a lot of subsidies. One of the biggest ones is the state's Rental Housing Revolving Fund. And so that money comes from the state's conveyance tax. I don't want to take you too far into the weeds here. But each year we're lobbying for a continuation of that funding or potentially an increase. If I could, I'd like to let everybody know that the governor's Governor Ige has been very proactive here in the last couple of years since he took office. One of his main goals is to increase affordable housing. And he just came out with his biennial budget here a couple of weeks ago. Asking for $50 million into the Rental Housing Revolving Fund and $50 million into the Dwelling Unit Revolving Fund, two funds that can be used for rental housing or even for sale housing. So the governor has been very supportive. We appreciate that. Now we have to get the legislature to support the governor.
And any other, let me give your contact information in a moment, but final thoughts for people that you think would be a good fit for this, who, even though there's a long waiting list in terms of just creating awareness for what you guys are doing?
Well, that's across the spectrum. I mean, anybody that's having difficulty finding a place to live, but still, I guess the bottom line is that they still have to be able to afford to pay the rent.
Right.
So they need to have an income typically that's twice the rent. And let me give you an idea of what our rent levels are. So at the 60% of area median income level, which is usually the max at our properties, for a two-bedroom unit, the 2016 rents, now the 2017 rents haven't come out yet by HUD, but the 2016 rents for a two-bedroom are $1,357. It's not cheap.
Right.
It's not cheap. But that is subsidized housing. If you go down to the 50% of area median income level, then the rent goes down a little over $200 to $1,131 for a two-bedroom apartment. For a one-bedroom at 50%, you're talking $942. And at 60%, you're talking $1,131. So what we typically look at is a person who's making double that in their as their income is the person who's going to qualify based on that criteria. Or they could have a Section 8 voucher.
Right, which you guys welcome.
Yes.
At all of the locations, Maui, Kauai, and in the Honolulu area.
Yes.
To get in touch with them, head to, on the World Wide Web, eahhousing.org. You can find an email form online at their website or communications@eahhousing.org to send an email. 523-8826 is their phone number. They are on Facebook, Twitter. They're on YouTube as well. And it is a pleasure to have had back on Helping Hand, EAH Housing VP. And what's your title again at HomeAid?
Vice President.
And Vice President there at HomeAid as well, Kevin Carney. Thank you so much for what you're doing to try to alleviate some of the stress on the housing issue, and really do appreciate your time.
Appreciate the invitation. Thank you very much. And could I also add that if they go to our website, eahhousing.org, there's also a list of all of our properties there with the application for each property. And so they could see what the requirements are for each one of those properties. And the phone numbers are there for the property as well if they want to ask specific questions.
That's fantastic. Love what you're doing. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much, Dave. Thank you very much.